It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Stanley Cup Final returns to Pittsburgh this week with Game 5 between the Penguins and the San Jose Sharks, set to be played Thursday night at Consol Energy Center. One of the keys to the playoffs has been the goaltending of the Penguins and the play of their rookie netminder Matt Murray, who, when he won his first two starts in these playoffs, became the first Penguins goaltender to win his first two playoff games since Pittsburgh goalie Les Binkley did it back in 1970 against the then Oakland Seals. That was the first year the Penguins made the playoffs, and Les Binkley was the franchise's first goalie when Pittsburgh joined the NHL back in 1967. Yesterday, Les Binkley celebrated his 82nd birthday, and he joins us now by phone from Hanover, Ontario. Les Binkley, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Have you been following the Penguins in these Stanley Cup Finals? What do you think of their run so far?
Well, I've been following them pretty well all year when the games are on TV, and he's done a phenomenal job. It's hard to believe he doesn't seem to show any nervousness.
Is that unusual for a rookie, for a guy who's 21 years old, to be as composed as he seems to be?
Not usually.
What do you think of the overall play of Matt Murray? Looking at him from a technical standpoint, what do you think of his style of play and what he's been able to do to lead the team in place of the injured, or at least he was injured with a concussion for a while, Marc-Andre Fleury, who's normally the starter?
Well, he seems to, have quick reflexes, and he follows the play really good, which you have to do to be a good goalie in this day and age because of all the players that are so big. He gets so many screenshots, but he handles the puck well, and he's been coached very well through his minor hockey.
Murray has been criticized for letting in some high shots. Does the modern style that Murray and other goalies play today make them vulnerable on those types of shots? And if so, why?
Well, I think they've all been taught to cover the lower part of the net, and it takes a perfect shot to get it over their shoulder. But as you mentioned, that's what happened on the overtime goal.
What are your thoughts about the way that goalies just today are pretty much on their knees the whole time? That's not the way you played, is it?
No, I was more of a stand-up goalie, but that's the way I was taught through all my minor hockey and stuff. And at that time era that I played, it seemed to be pretty well everyone played that way.
When you started playing goalie, it was a very the style of the position, of the way it was played, was very different than today. Take me through what you were taught when you first started playing hockey about how to play as a goaltender.
Well, we were really emphasized on the angle, you know. So when we lined it up, if the player was inside the red dot, you closed off the short side and forced them to shoot for the long side. And hopefully he missed the net.
But you also stayed on your feet and you were taught to make kick saves. Explain how you were drilled and taught to deflect the puck with your feet away from the goal.
Well, at a younger age, they took away our goalie stick and we used to practice for, I shouldn't say hours, but 10 or 15 minutes every day with they'd shoot low to your stick side or your glove side, but you didn't have any sticks, or you had to make a foot save. It wasn't easy to start with, but as you progressed, it seemed to make more sense because you control the rebound with your skate, deflected it into the corner.
So as you watch the way goaltending styles have changed, does it seem strange to you? Do you watch it and think that perhaps goalies ought to go back to the way they used to play when you were in goal?
Well, I think there's so many good shooters today, it's pretty hard. I think they're doing it right. It's just, you have to depend on your reflexes and the style of play that you play, and hopefully that it works out.
Anybody that goes back several decades and looks at pictures of you when you were first playing for the Penguins will see a guy in the goal with some of the familiar equipment, the leg pads, the goalie stick, the glove, the blocker, all of that, everything but a face mask. You're out there barefaced. Talk about what that was like and the kind of courage it took to stand there and face those shots.
Well, I wore a mask in practice, but I had very difficult times, what we call, you know, looking to the side. And the masks were very hot. I'm telling you, the sweat used to just pour down. I wore contact lenses when I played, and if the sweat got into your eyes, boy, it really bit. The only time you really got concerned, you saw somebody wind up with a slapper and somebody cut your vision, and you visioned you were going to get it right between the eyes.
We're talking with the first goaltender in the history of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Les Binkley, by phone from Hanover, Ontario. The Penguins struggled in the first couple years of their existence, but they made the playoffs in year three. Talk about, Les, how the team came together and the stars on the team that turned the franchise into a winning team.
Well, you know, the first year we were so close to making the playoffs, and I don't know if you checked the record, but I think we were only 2 or 3 points out of a playoff spot. With being an expansion team, we had so many new players, and it takes a while to gel together.
What was it like the first time to make the playoffs? Was there a lot of excitement in Pittsburgh? Was there a pretty big crowd? Did it sell out? What was it like?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting, not only for the players, but for the fans. And we got off to a good start. Like, we beat Oakland 4 straight, and then we had to bump up at St. Louis, who went on to the Stanley Cup Finals.
The Penguins had a player named Michel Briere, who's number 21 is retired. He's one of only two players in Pittsburgh history to have their number retired. The other is, of course, Mario Lemieux, number 66. Everybody knows about Mario Lemieux, but not that many people know about Michel Briere. What can you tell us about him and the kind of player he was?
Well, he wasn't overly big, but he was, how would you say, I hate to compare him to Gretzky, but he was sort of wiry. And he handled the puck good, and he seemed to have great foresight. You know, the puck would follow him, and he had an exciting year that first year.
And then tragically, unfortunately, after that year, he died during the offseason in a auto accident in Montreal. What was it like for the team to deal with that, to lose a star player from one year to the next, and especially in such a tragic way?
Well, it was pretty, how would you say, downgrading. You know, everybody felt so bad, and he helped lead our team the first year, and without him, you know, it's very hard to continue on without his dominance play.
I heard in an interview with the Penguins general manager, Jim Rutherford, who, like you, was a former goalie for the Penguins.
He was my roommate.
Oh, was he?
He was, yeah.
How did
for
you?
A couple of years.
How'd you guys get along?
Pretty good. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I had a table tennis table in my living room, and Jimmy and I lived very closely. We used to play pretty well every day after practice, and the mailman came along, and he used to beat us both.
Was that good for honing the reflexes of goaltenders playing?
Yeah, it certainly was. A lot of hockey teams have one in the dressing room or, you know, in their hallways.
Well, one of the things that Jim Rutherford, I heard him say in an interview, was that the guys back then had a lot of fun, had more fun than players do today. And one of the reasons he cited was that, you know, you didn't have to worry about social media. You didn't have to worry about people following you and maybe taking pictures with a cell phone. You could go out and have a good time and stay relatively, you know, under the radar. What do you think about that?
Yeah, he's right. Our biggest excitement was reading the sports page and the funny page. And I think today, you know, with the internet and the stuff, but they're more into probably stocks and whatever, you know. Back when we played, we couldn't afford to gamble with stocks.
Now, I have to ask you, One day as a kid, I tuned into ABC Wide World of Sports, which quite often featured Evel Knievel, the motorcycle daredevil, doing one type of treacherous stunt or another. Only on this particular day that I happened to tune in, he was on skates firing pucks at you. You were in goal facing Evel Knievel. Can you explain, did I dream that or did that actually happen? And can you explain what that was?
It actually happened, and it was on the Wild World of Sports, and Frank Gifford, that before they took the shots, did the interviews, but I wasn't supposed to play. The other goalie that was supposed to take these shots, it was all prearranged.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Joe Croton, and he ended up playing for New York later on. Anyways, we couldn't find him before the game, and we were carrying three goalies at the time, so the other goalie played, and I had to take the shots in between periods. And what happened was he got $10,000 for every goal he scored, and I got $1,000 for every save. So he scored two, I stopped two, and with the $2,000, we had a team party.
Now, I didn't know, and I'm guessing most people didn't know, that Evel Knievel was a hockey player. Where did he
play? Well, he played in some minor league or outlaw league and wherever he was from, and he wasn't that bad a player, except he was racked up pretty good, you know, from his motorcycles and stuff.
And what kind of a guy was he? Did you guys get along okay?
Yeah, we did. He was very interesting to talk to, and he carried the cane, eh? I don't know if you remember seeing him with a cane. And it had a motorcycle on top of the cane with all diamonds.
Oh, wow. But I'm guessing he didn't take that out on the ice with him, did he?
No, he didn't. And I hope he didn't leave in the dressing room either.
The Penguins are trying to wrap up this series with San Jose. What do you think that the Penguins need to do to win their fourth Stanley Cup?
Well, you know, it's such a close series, and I'm sure San Jose is going to come out gung-ho the first 5 or 10 minutes if they can hold that off and then continue on the way they're playing. And they always do get a lot of good scoring chances. I just like to see them bear down and score more goals.
And do you have a couple of Stanley Cup rings? You were scouting with the Penguins when they won.
I do, 91 and 92.
So those must be pretty proud possessions.
I do, and I sure Stanley Cups that they give all the people that work for the organization.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. They give you a miniature Stanley Cup as well. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
As I mentioned at the outset, you are celebrating your 82nd birthday, so happy birthday, Les Binkley, and thanks so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having me. Good luck, Penguins.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.